I am number one, an absolute conviction. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you Absolute Philosopher. I am number one, an absolute conviction. Everybody believes that they're number one, but everyone doesn't believe that that's an absolute conviction. An absolute conviction means this is without a doubt. This is something that cannot be taken away, cannot be measured, cannot be thought about in any way whatsoever. It's an absolute conviction. Okay. What does it mean that I am number one is an absolute conviction? Well, the I am is our universal thought for the divine being, and number one, or I am number one, is another aspect of it. You've all got me doing this, you know. So, think about it. I'm number one. And as number one, what are we doing? No. As number one, we are thinking positive thoughts about ourselves. Now, what do you think about yourself? Ellen, are you beautiful?
I am beautiful.
Are you magnificent?
I am magnificent.
Are you the most outstanding being on the face of the earth?
I am the most outstanding being on the total earth.
Now, do you think that's true?
Yes.
Is she the most outstanding being on the face of the earth?
On the face of the earth.
Now, for her to say, I am an outstanding being on the face of the earth?
Yes, correct.
Or I am the most outstanding being on the face of the earth?
There's only one.
Oh! So, you were comparing yourself to people that aren't even there.
To myself.
I am
the greatest.
Outstanding. No, you can't be greatest.
Because you cannot compare.
You see, all relative words have to refer to something else.
Yeah.
Now, you say, I am the greatest, compared to what? By what judgment? Now, don't fight it. Don't fight it. Because in fighting it, I merely have to work on proving it to you and then prove it to the audience too. Now, when you say, I am God, are you the greatest God? Are you the most fantastic God? Are you the most outstanding God? Are you the God of all gods? Sounds kind of ludicrous, doesn't it? Right? Now, you're the wind. Are you the greatest wind, the best wind, the finest wind, the north wind, south wind, east wind, west wind? What kind of wind are you?
Wind.
Hmm?
I'm wind.
You are wind. You are without relationship. You are without relationship. And this is what's important for us to remember. We are existence without relationship. Now, you say, well, here I am in the relative world, and all about me are winds, and all about me are people, and all about me are things and stuff like that. How does that fit in there? How does that fit in there? Well, it fits in there in this simple way. They don't exist. All of them are an illusion. Now, if we're going to talk about a relative world, oh, that's just fine. Then you are magnificent. You are the greatest of the great. You are the finest of the fine. And you compare yourself to all of these other beings. But if you're talking about absolute consciousness, then you're saying, I am the one. Now, is there any other being on the face of the earth to an absolute being?
Nope.
Is there any relationship to an absolute being?
Nope.
Is there any relationship to a relative being of another relative being?
No.
Why do we say that there is a relationship between relative beings?
Okay.
Because these are people who are not willing to recognize that they are number one. You see? When you recognize that you're number one, there's no relationship. If you are the archetypal cause, what other archetypal cause can there be? Okay? If you are number one, what other one can there be? Now, if we're going to play this game of being number one, we also have to play by the rules. And the rules are the word. I am number one. Who's number two? There's no number two. Three, four, five, six, none. But I am number one. Now, what can anyone else say? There is no one else. They cannot say it because they're all my creation in the relative world. They're all my creation in the relative world. Now, do I create anyone in the relative world who is less than myself? Everyone is equal to me. Everyone is equal to me in every way. What is it that others don't have that I have? I am number one. I am me. I am the all. They,
awareness.
Go ahead.
The awareness.
They do not have the awareness that they are all and they are number one. What they have is they have permission to exist as an illusion in my world with my permission. They have permission to be with my permission. Without my permission, they are nothing. Now, we are talking about the absolute philosopher here. And in talking about the absolute philosopher, we're saying an absolute conviction. Now, what is an absolute conviction? There is no absolute conviction because all is. Now, can we be aware of anything that is not? Can we be aware of the nothingness? Can we be aware of the allness? Can we be aware of the isness? We've talked about these things before, and the answers are no. We cannot be aware of the allness if we think that we are part of it. We cannot be aware of the isness if we think we are the allness, because the allness can only encompass all and that it is and all that is. And the isness can only encompass what it is. So the isness sees everything what?
What is?
Exactly a replica of itself. In other words, the isness is looking at a giant mirror. And everything the isness sees is a reflection of the is. And it's not real. It's an illusion. But it seems very real. And you can go and bark at it, as the Rex barks at his own illusion in the mirror. And he says, hey, that's a nice guy. Then he gives him a kiss, you know. And the mirror gets all shluggy. But the thing is that real? To Rex, it's quite real. He says, why don't you come play with me? You know, come on out of there. And every time he goes over, he gets closer and closer. And then he snuggles next to the mirror, and they're snuggling against each other, but he still doesn't really get to know him. Now, can you play any game more sincerely than that, realizing that that is the illusion, and the illusion is whatever you create it to be? Now, when Rex feels that he's the allness, and that day may come, when he feels that he is the allness, then what will he be?
All.
He'll be all. And there will be no dog in the mirror. There will be nothing else besides himself. There will just be nothing else besides himself. He will be the all. Now, so long as he wants to have a friend, and he wants to have him in the mirror, or Little Love, or whoever is his friend, then he's going to create them. And he's going to create them with him doing what? He's the boss. Rex will always be the boss. Now, I asked Ellen this morning. I said, Ellen, Stefan, I said, Button is being very definite. And Ellen says, oh, Button is the boss. Button knows exactly what he wants. Button doesn't let anybody push him around. Button just stands up for himself. And if Button's not interested in what other people are doing or other dogs are doing, he just pays no attention to him. Now, is that an isness at work? Is that a powerful isness? Is he expressing an isness even better than humans do? Mm-hmm. How many humans can go around being untouched by their environment and just stand there and be untouched? How many humans can go around when other dogs, for instance, are bumping against them, other people are bumping against them and trying to get their attention and trying to get them to do what they want them to do and just ignore them? That's a rare and a wonderful talent. And when you see that, you're talking to a master. You're talking to a master consciousness. Did you know that Button's a master consciousness? Yes, you did. Now, I'm going to ask Esther another question. Esther?
Yes?
What makes you so brilliant that you think that Button is a master consciousness? Huh?
I do.
I'm sorry?
I am. Too.
No. I am.
I am.
Not I am too.
I am.
Yeah. You see, Button is a reflection of your master consciousness. He is not also a master consciousness. He's a reflection of your master consciousness. You are a master consciousness, or else you could not what?
See another master.
You could not see another master. Is that correct? Now, do you think Button sees other masters?
Of course.
He sees other masters only when he wants to have a relationship with them. If there are nothing to him, if they are of no interest to him, he just ignores them as the plebeians, you know, as the lesser segment. And even them, he doesn't give the time of day. He just ignores them totally. Now, do you do that too? Yes, you do. You do that. Whenever you feel someone is acting less than the master that you're acting, you don't even bother to give them the time of day. When you feel someone is acting superior to you, then what do? You should look at yourself and see how you're acting. Maybe you're acting inferior to them. Oh, can you help me with this? Would you please do this? You go up to them and you say, hey, I'd appreciate you if you do this here for me. I can do it myself, and I just don't want to take the time to do it right now. You could do it. See, then your esteem, your self-esteem, your self-worth is right where it should be. But if you say, I can't figure this thing out. Oh, I feel so stupid. I can't figure this out. Would you help me do this? You know, and so you're crawling on the floor while the master is working for you. You know, and that's not ever what we want to do. We don't ever want to live in that way. We are number one. But of course, to say that we are number one from the absolute point of view is a misnomer too. Why? It means that there's a number two. And there is no number two. And if you say, I am it, it gets a little closer, but it still isn't there. Sylvia, what is the phrase that is there? Simple? Two words?
I am.
Yes! And give the lady $10 billion.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, she didn't have any objection about that. Now, and yeah, you helped her out. But you see, I am. I am. And I am is what it's all about. When we can stop putting so many adjectives and adverbs, and what other things did you say, Ellen?
Adverbs.
Adjectives and adverbs.
Prepositions.
And prepositions.
Articles.
And articles. Ellen loves the articles. This is the Mr. Herb Barley. This is the herb. This is the herb.
This is the greatest.
Before I never used
it. See, now she's saying she never used it. And what she's saying is that she never lived in Germany and she never lived in Switzerland, where they always give an article to the person's name. This is the Felix. I'd like to have you meet the Felix. I'd like to have you meet the alias.
Den alias, yeah.
Yeah, well, see, now you recognize it. And just because you're in America and you're speaking proper American English that I teach you, you don't say the article before the name, do you? But again, that's another point. What we are talking about right now is that you are Ellen. You are not the Ellen. You are not the only Ellen. You are not the greatest Ellen. You are not the finest Ellen. You are not all these adjectives and adverbs. You are Ellen. Now, is there another Ellen?
Yes.
No! There is no other Ellen. You may create other Ellens in your world, but they're not you. Now, I saw a letter on the internet today, and it was from our Filipino friends, and it was addressed from, rather, it's written from Ellen, Helen. And as the person was writing, she wrote, "Dear Ellen," at the top. And I thought, oh, you wrote to them, because you're the only Ellen that I care to know, or that I know exists. And then later I realized it was really Helen. And so then I realized that's where she got in the picture. But you are the only one. And you can see how it's hard for us to train ourselves in this, because we fall into these traps, and I help you fall into them. I want you to fall into them as much as possible until you don't ever fall into them again, where you stand up and know who you are, and act who you are, and live who you are, and be who you are. Now, Ingeborg Bolz, charming young lady, she is the only Ingeborg I know. There's no other Ingeborg on the face of the earth. There's no other Ingeborg Bolz on the face of the earth. Now, there may be people with name of Ingeborg Bolz somewhere in the world, but there's no other Ingeborg Bolz on the face of the world except Ingeborg Bolz, right? Now, I cannot keep track of Ingeborg Pukart and Ingeborg Persolium. I'm dealing with these two P's, you know, and it's hard to know which one she is the only one of. Now, is she relinquishing the Ingeborg Persolia so that the new Ingeborg Persolia can stand up and say, "I am Ingeborg Persolia"? Or is she relinquishing it because she prefers to have the Ingeborg Pukert, which is what she has enjoyed much of her life, right? Now, she has not told us any of these things. All we know is one minute she's Ingeborg Pukert, another minute she's Ingeborg Persolia, another minute she's Inga, and another minute she's Ingeborg. And you see, this is why it's very important for us to know who we are and stand up for it and always be the same. You see, with Sylvia, Ingeborg, Sylvia ends, S-E, S-M-E, Sylvia Maria ends. And Sylvia Maria ends. And what was your daddy's maiden name?
My mother's maiden name. My daddy's. Oyster.
So, she's Sylvia Maria Oyster ends. Or ends oyster. And not really. But we can play with names. We can play with names. But for Rex here, he's a beautiful dog, and I named him Rex because it was a royal born. That's what it means, one who is royal born. And I wanted that for him. But I kept calling him Button. I kept calling him Love. I kept calling him Ellen, you know, and things like that. And, you know, and so finally, after a while, I became accustomed to calling him Rex. And now I call Button Rex and Love Rex. I haven't called Ellen Rex yet. but that may come. But you see, his name has become known by him. His name has become emboldened, embellished in his world, in his life. And that's a very beautiful thing. I'm number one, and that's an absolute conviction. However, it is not an absolute statement. Anything that we say which is comparative, anything we say which has judgment, anything we say which is touchable, is not absolute. Absolute is not comparable, not judgmental, it is not touchable, it is not possessible, it is not even one-pointed. Hey, how about that? Absolute is not one-pointed. Because to be one-pointed, it has to be a point about something. If all there is absolute, if all there is you, and you're talking about you all the time, you say, well, you're being one-pointed. No, there is no other point. You follow me?
Yes.
There's no other point. So, you see, as we're playing with these words, and that's what we're doing with these lectures in Absolute Philosopher, we're playing with words and playing with concepts and playing with ideas and getting familiar with the relative world, the absolute world, the universal world. And when we do that, we have to be very careful. The dictionary spells out the name God as a universal God with lowercase G-O-D, okay? Mm-hmm. But the thesaurus goes off on a tangent and says, Almighty Father, Almighty One, Universal Cause, and all these are caps. Now, why does the thesaurus have these caps while the dictionary presumably has the same thing, lowercase? The thesaurus has its caps because it is a title given to a deity in a certain philosophical religion, you might say. So, you look at the Islams, and they have many words for God, and every one is capitalized. You look at the Christians, and they have lots of words for God, and every one is capitalized. You look at the Hindus, my goodness sakes, do they have a lot of words for God, which are different from what we're used to. And what are some of the Hindu words for God? Schnell, Lord. Loud.
Lord.
Lord?
That's really not Hindu.
That's sort of overall. Go ahead, talk to him.
So, unlimited interest to feeling.
This is what it's all about. We are number one.
Yes.
And we are living in absolute philosophy.
He's just giving a talk on the internet.
I'm saying to you now that have a lovely evening and be beautiful people and do great things. I love you. I love you. I love you.
So it was interrupted.